you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour backyard blast off. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Green Bay to Greensboro, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How's everybody doing today? Thanks so much for joining us. Good show coming up for you. A lot of football today. Sam Monson's dropping on by. Sam joined us about a month ago from Pro Football Focus, and that was his first spot on the air with us, and we found it to be really insightful and really entertaining and really good. And we got thoughts. We got questions. I've got things to figure out after the preseason, specifically about a couple of guys that got paid yesterday. So Sam's going to join us coming up in about 35 minutes from now, and it's always interesting to see the statistical analysis behind what we watch on Sundays and what we've watched through the preseason. So Sam Monson's going to join us for Pro Football Focus to analyze it from that direction coming up here at about 40 minutes past the hour. Also, I want you to know that we here on the DA Show respect the listeners so much. You help dictate the direction of the show.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure that's a good thing or a bad thing, but this is a true sports radio democracy. You asked for it, and we delivered. For the first time in what I believe is 2.5 years since we swapped into this time slot back in 2017, we will return to the airwaves the ever popular segment, Champ or Chump. You know, I've heard through the years since we switched into this time slot, what happened to Champ and Chump? Why don't you do Champ and Chump anymore? You should bring back Champ and Chump. And the reason that we did away with it, we wanted to trim the fat after going from a 4-hour show to a 3-hour show. When we were doing overnights, 4 hours, 2 a.m. until 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. When we did evening, 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then we moved into this time slot, 9 a.m. to noon, which was good because Mraz got to work 1 hour less. And we usually had less guests for him to book. And it seemed to work better for our schedule here and how we structure the show. But we had to trim the fat. And so we decided Champ and Chump, unfortunately, had to go. But there's been such an outcry consistently over the last 2.5 years. And then it came to a bubbling realization 2 weeks ago in the PGP, when the First Lady of Trash Tuesday, Courtney, demanded a return of Champ or Chump to Mraz on side B. She said she had gotten into listening to the show because her boyfriend, Matt, said the best part of the show was Champ or Chump. And then she began listening to the show, and we never did Champ or Chump. It was like the day she started listening, we stopped doing it. So I'm dusting it off for a week, and I want to see how it feels. I want to see if the shoe fits. I want to see if the bike seat still feels comfortable. I want to see if this thing works for us. So Champ or Chump is coming up here in hour number two, and let's just feel it out. You know, it's like an old flame you had a really good relationship with. Then you broke up. Maybe you went away to school. Then you come back after college and you say, you know what? We had moved on, but let's go out and get a drink. All right, let's just go out as friends. No pressure. And let's just see. Let's just see if the old stuff still works. And let's see if it can evolve into new stuff. So I'm cautiously optimistic because I don't know how it's going to feel, but we'll try it. Hour number two. Also, that really is. Also coming up this morning on the show, two huge college football games will dissect Texas LSU and A&M Clemson. Which one has more on the line? The Rams, they signed Jared Goff, but for how much? And FIBA's worst case scenario unfolded yesterday. And I hate to tell you I told you so about our fine country, but I told you so. All of that coming up this morning on the show. If you have thoughts, takes, opinions, questions, comments, concerns, you can dial us up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. We begin in Dallas, where Ezekiel Elliott had held out the entire preseason, all of training camp, had spent some time lounging on a beach, saying, thanks but no thanks, not interested in returning. Finally did return to the mainland U.S., and then yesterday flew to Dallas to complete the deal. Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys agreed to a 6-year, $90 million extension. The big number here is the guaranteed money. Guaranteed money is more than Todd Gurley got. Guaranteed money is $50 million. Guaranteed. He's going to get that no matter what. If he blows out his ACL tomorrow, he will get that $50 million. Todd Gurley only got 45. And so when everybody said, well, Zeke's not going to get Todd Gurley money. Todd Gurley money is a mistake. Nobody in the league wants to give out another Todd Gurley contract. And Jerry Jones whimpered about not enough of a pie. The pie's getting smaller. Not enough of a pie. People take it from the pie. When he kept doing that, and that was a terrible Jerry Jones impersonation, it seemed like the Cowboys had a hard line in the sand. And when all is said and done, Ezekiel Elliott misses no game checks, missed all of training camp of the preseason, and got the most money ever for a running back. Here's the question. Did Zeke just pull one over on Jerry? It is where we begin. You're cold open.
It will be great. Will be and would be great if before a short period of time passes that Zeke would be in that group. But we'll see how today goes. We'll see how tomorrow goes. And we'll see how the ensuing hours pan out.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Now, that was Jerry before the deal was struck yesterday. That was Jerry yesterday morning on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Zeke won every part of this battle. Every single part of the battle. Zeke won. There is no way, no way, no how you can define it any other way. Zeke won. Ezekiel Elliott got to lounge for all of training camp. Ezekiel Elliott didn't have to play in any preseason games. Ezekiel Elliott didn't miss any NFL game checks. Ezekiel Elliott didn't have to risk going into the season and Alfred Morris or Tony Pollard actually looking productive. Ezekiel Elliott watched the Cowboys try to strong arm him by signing Jalen Smith and Lyle Collins and trying to shake loose Zeke from his holdout. And at the end of the day, Zeke got the most guaranteed money ever for a running back. The most. And Zeke knows now that total compensation over the next 7 years is going to top $100 million in an era where we have quote-unquote devalued the running back. Zeke won. Zeke won every part of this deal. He won every part of the battle. He won every part of the war. And I applaud him. This was great strategery, as they like to say in Texas. He won the war. For the Dallas Cowboys, who knows how this salary cap thing works, huh? They've signed 4/5 of their offensive line to contracts that are worth the top 5 out of their positions in the NFL. They've signed Jalen Smith and DeMarcus Lawrence to big-time extensions as well. And now Ezekiel Elliott. Who knows how this salary cap thing works? Like I said yesterday, I kind of feel like Jerry Jones and other owners just keep using the grim reaper of the salary cap behind them to say, oh, we can't do it. Oh, we can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. And they're just, if they want to do it, can do it. But the Cowboys have, for Jerry's sake, a contender finally. And I don't blame the Cowboys for wanting to sign all of these guys and saying, okay, now we can have an annual contender as Jerry gets really old and is still searching for that really elusive Super Bowl that has not been part of the Dallas fabric since the mid-90s. So for 25 years, they've been looking for a Super Bowl, and now they've got a core of guys that they've re-signed and said, okay, now we got a core of guys moving forward that we can be a contender year in, year out over the next 5-6 years. Which is great. Great for Cowboys fans. Good for the Cowboys organization. When it comes to this battle, Zeke won it all. He won it all. He pulled one over the Cowboys. Because what did he have to give up? He had to give up, what, free agency years at 27 and 28 or 28 and 29? Hey, he got his money. He topped Gurley. He topped the contract everybody in the NFL said is the worst contract of the NFL, and he topped it. Zeke got his, man. He won in a knockout. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more car insurance. Vinny, he's in Arizona, listening on 94.3 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, man. What's going on?
Hey, so with Dak Prescott not signing the offer because it wasn't enough for him or whatever the case was, do you think how Zeke held out kind of gave Dak a new way of holding out to possibly get what he wants?
I think
and
it's
my second thing, permission to board.
Permission grant! I think what Zeke just did was a roadmap for everybody within the Cowboys organization. You see, Melvin Gordon held out, and the Chargers said, not interested, still not interested. Zeke held out and got what he wanted. Now, Zeke is better at his job and more crucial to his team's success than Melvin Gordon is to his. But, yeah, that's the roadmap. Here's the thing. Quarterbacks really don't hold out. For whatever reason, maybe it's because leadership is so significant. Maybe it's because reps are so significant. Maybe it's because working within an offense and practice is so significant. But other positions hold out. Quarterbacks really don't. So I don't know if Dak wants to go down that road. But if you're asking me if this is the game plan, if this is the playbook, yeah, clearly. Zeke did exactly what he wanted to do and got exactly the money he wanted to get. When we come back here on the show, two huge college football games this weekend. LSU, Texas from Austin. And A&M Clemson from Death Valley. Which one has more on the line? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Todd. Like, have you ever seen a baby named Todd in the last 30 years, by the way? What an ugly baby that must look like. Hey, look at little Todd here. You want to hold Todd? You want to milk Todd? I mean, what are we doing here?
You want to milk Todd?
Oh, no, I think Todd milks.
No. No, none of that is right.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Who wants to milk Todd? 23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, the Sunday morning football show returned this week. I'm so excited. Yeah, baby.
Now, wait a minute.
10 a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Pacific. We are going to react to everything that happened in college football and then preview the NFL's opening weekend. Sunday morning football returned this week. Available all the same places you get the DA show.
You want to milk Todd?
No, because I can't. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS, and be listening later on to the show when we'll answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. Better parts, better prices every day. Dixieland Dan tweets, what? Champ or Chump is back? I'm going to have to listen before I send mine in because I've never heard it live on the air, and I don't want to screw that up because I want it to stick around. We are a three-bit show. Trash Tuesday, Target Demo Friday, and now Champ or Chump Wednesday. That's right!
Champ.
Three-bit show, baby. With two-bit brains, three-bit show. Francois joins us from Dallas. He is listening on Sirius XM Channel 206. Francois, good morning.
Good morning. I appreciate you taking my call. And if you would give me a little reprieve and put me on hold so I can hear your response, I really would appreciate it.
You got it, man.
I've got two things. You know, I'm down here in Dallas, and obviously I'm a Cowboy fan, but an objective Cowboy fan, which takes on a different connotation. And all the talk about Jerry saying that he didn't want to set the market for the running back. I mean, I disagree with that. I think that what he's done is he's set the market for the premier running back. Because when you look around the league, in my mind, there's only three transcendent players at the running back position. That's Gurley, that's Saquon Barkley, and that's Zeke Elliott. So I think when you're talking about the running back position, every running back around the National Football League is not going to command $15 million a year. And two, I really have a problem, and I've always had a problem with players' salaries being public. You know, that's like saying every major sports talk show host in America that has high ratings, well, we're going to publicize what you make annually. I appreciate your time.
All right, man. Appreciate you dialing us up. I hear you on that second part. It is kind of weird. Imagine if all of us had our salaries just published every single day. But 'tis the way of the world. That's the way that it's always been. Salaries have been made public for 100 years in all sports, and so we ain't putting that genie back into the bottle. I think you're right. I think you're right, Francois, about setting the bar for the top-tier running backs, because outside of Gurley, Zeke, and Saquon, there might not be another tier A workhorse, every down, do everything back like those three. I think with Jerry, though, what you realized was it was just all talk. Because at the end of the day, they did have the stomach to make him the highest paid running back. They did have the appetite to give him the most guaranteed money. They did give him a long-term deal, so that now they are paying him for the next 6 years. So whatever Jerry said about not wanting to set the market was really, it was just a negotiating ploy. All along, he had the willingness to do it, apparently. Unless he didn't up until right before the season. But if that's the case, then you really weren't set in what you believed. And you might as well have just done this earlier in the summer then. Because then at least you would have Zeke in camp under your training regimen, so that you don't have to worry about rust or being out of shape. Two enormous games on Saturday, and you might imagine these would be the top two games in your tasty top five coming up. You begin at 3:30 Eastern time on ABC. Number 12, Texas A&M is traveling to Death Valley to take on the defending national champion, top-ranked Clemson Tigers. And then 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on ABC, that's the doubleheader. You've got number 6 LSU traveling to Austin to take on number 9 Texas, which is where game day is going to be. These two are amazing, enormous games. Four of the top 12 will play each other. And both of them have something on the line. Obviously, Clemson as defending national champions. taking on a very frisky Kellen Mond-led Texas A&M team, Kellen Mond-led, will have a fight in its hands. I mean, if A&M truly is an SEC West party crasher, and a lot of people believe that Jimbo Fisher is making A&M very scary, then Clemson risks a difficult home loss, which could be, you know, a black mark on their resume for the college football playoff. For A&M to go to Clemson and get a win, and remember last year they played really well in that game. Clemson was just a little bit too much for them at Texas A&M. But if A&M somehow goes to South Carolina and gets this victory, boy, that is as signature a win as you could possibly have in Jimbo Fisher's early days for A&M, and really signals that it's a different new era, new chapter for A&M Aggies football. But for all of those storylines, the game that means more, that has more on the line, is pretty obviously LSU-Texas, and here's why. If Clemson ends up losing this game, they still have a really good shot at running the table in the ACC. I mean, their toughest challenges of the ACC are going to be at the Carrier Dome next week, and then later on in the season, they're going to get FSU at home, although FSU just got bullied and muscled around by Boise State. But really, later on in the season, at NC State. That's going to be the two that you look at and say, those could be potholes in the ACC. But really, Clemson will be heavily favored in every game that they play this season, and they're heavily favored in this one by 17.5. Clemson could lose this game, run the table in the ACC, and make their way to the college football playoff, because you know, if their only lost game of the season happens in early September, if they've ripped off 11 or 12 straight, including the ACC title game, then, or 10 straight or 11 straight rather, they'll be in the college football playoff. The committee's going to put them in there because we know the might of Clemson. So A&M could go there and win, and that would be huge for A&M. For Clemson, it's not a death knell. For LSU and Texas, they both have designs on a college football playoff. And this game, this win for both of them would be a big resume builder. You know, for Texas, it would kind of symbolize the quote unquote Texas is back thing that the rest of the nation makes fun of. But if you beat an SEC team, a top 10 SEC team in your house, national TV, game day there, well, Tom Herman then has his signature victory. And for Texas in the Big 12, you know, Iowa State's going to be good and Oklahoma's going to be very good, but Texas and the Red River rivalry, you know, that's kind of a crapshoot every single year no matter what the records are, so they could easily win that game. And if Texas wins this LSU game, even if the Big 12 is kind of down or questionable like it oftentimes is, Texas, for the College Football Playoff Committee, if they win the Big 12, can say, hey, and we beat a top six SEC team. Same thing for LSU. For LSU, you know, when you play in the SEC West, you control your own destiny because you'll end up playing the teams that you need to play, specifically Alabama, to win the SEC and have your signature victory. For LSU, you know, the SEC West is a bear. They're going to have to get A&M. They're going to have to get Alabama. They're going to have to get Auburn. But for LSU, going to Austin, a big road victory over a top 10 team again, gives them juice going into the College Football Playoff Committee's decisions. You know, you would think that LSU would have to win the SEC, at least the SEC West, to get a bid. So that means it would still mean work to do to beat Alabama. But this would be another enormous signature victory for Ed Orgeron, who we have kind of joked about and laughed at. But look, if Coach O gets this win, it's huge. So while both these games are fascinating, there's more on the line for LSU and Texas. What a day week two is going to be Saturday for college football fans. It should be noted, our new college football guest picker, Super Dave, Dave Friedman, is a healthy 3-0 after week number one. That is the inverse of Huge Freeze last year. So we have downgraded on singing lounge karaoke, but we have upgraded in actually making you money and making correct picks.
and a guy that knows how to play the game. Not that he's in danger of being banned from the show, but he's not making stupid, unnecessarily difficult picks like Robbie seemed to love to do last year. When all he had to do was pick three easy ones to beat Sean, he kept getting smart, and what happened?
That's exactly right. Outsmarted himself, the big galoot. So, Super Dave, 3-0 after week number one. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. When we come back here on the show, Sam Monson's going to join us from Pro Football Focus. We'll talk to him about the numbers in Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys, the numbers in Jared Goff's extension as well, and Bears and Packers open up the NFL season tomorrow night. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I'm all about DA. Very smart, very talented, love the kid's process, works it hard, cares about the show, grinds. It's about the right stuff, man. And he's a good dude.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, Jim. Happy Wednesday, everybody. 41 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And there are so many ways you can listen to the show. Check us out across the great terrestrial radio affiliates on CBS Sports Radio, on Sirius XM Channel 206, and stream us on your phone using the radio.com app, Apple Music, or CBS Sports in that app. Plenty of other places you can stream radio as well on your phone. You can watch us at watchda.com. Joining us here on the show to look ahead to week number one of the NFL season, our friend from Pro Football Focus, NFL writer there, Sam Monson. Sam, good morning.
Morning. How's it going, guys?
Good, man. Thanks so much for joining us. We've started this morning talking about Ezekiel Elliott's contract extension. 6 years, $90 million. Significantly, it's $50 million guaranteed. Analytics-wise, numbers-wise, does the money validate Ezekiel Elliott? Does Ezekiel Elliott worth the money?
Yeah, I mean, I think the bottom line at PFF is that all the data at the moment says that running backs are not the thing that determines rushing success, right? Run blocking is way more important in terms of determining whether you're going to run the ball well than who is carrying the football. So Dallas securing an offensive line that's going to open up holes for whoever the running back is way more important than locking down Zeke Elliott. And, you know, conversely, if you didn't have Zeke Elliott running behind that offensive line, we've kind of already seen in the past that they were able to plug in a guy like Darren McFadden and turn him into a 1,000-yard rusher and a legitimate, you know, RB1 in terms of fantasy. They've done it with Alfred Morris as well. This is a line that's been able to plug in running backs and not see the kind of drop-off that you fear from losing a player like Ezekiel Elliott, who, you know, talent-wise, Elliott is fantastic. It's just that he is not the thing that's moving the needle in terms of determining whether Dallas is going to have success running the ball on the ground. So from that perspective, from where we're looking, it's just not ever going to be worth paying a running back that kind of money. That being said, I think Dallas, the Cowboys believe differently. You know, they think that Zeke Elliott is what makes that offense go. They will run him into the ground. They will use him as much as they possibly can. So I think they're going to try and get value out of that contract. It's just that all the data says that it's not Elliott that's the thing that's moving the needle there.
Jared Goff also got a ton of money in his extension, $110 million guaranteed. And we know that with every new contract, there's new record set basically for quarterbacks. But where does Jared Goff stack up statistically against his peers?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that, you know, he probably hasn't earned that kind of contract yet in terms of his overall performance, but they're paying him for what they think he can be. He's definitely taken huge steps forward under Sean McVay all the time he's been there. Last season, I think we saw him end the season as our number 8 ranked quarterback, so he sneaked into the top 10. I think that's kind of where he's at right now. And if he takes another step forward this year, then I think he will justify that contract. Obviously, he plays the most important position in the NFL. It's not like talking about paying running backs top dollar. The quarterback is definitely where you want to invest the money. And I think we've at least seen Jared Goff play for stretches as a quarterback that would justify that contract. all we need to know now is whether he can elevate his game to that level consistently in 2019 and beyond.
Sam Monson joins us, Pro Football Focus. I don't know if you guys have a way to decide this, but do you feel as though Jared Goff is a product of his system? In other words, if we plugged in, say, Nick Foles or Jacoby Brissett or somebody else, that he would be more effective within the Rams offense than those guys would be in other offenses?
I don't think we can say he's a product of the system, but he's definitely enhanced by the system. You know, he went from one of the worst quarterback situations in the NFL to one of the best when they made the coaching change and Sean McVay came in. And, you know, you can see what McVay's system does for a quarterback if you just watch any Rams game. It does scheme open a lot of wide open throws. It creates a lot of opportunities that some of these other quarterbacks don't get. But then you can also turn on games last year where you see the value add that Jared Goff was bringing to this offense. So on top of the stuff that McVay's system was scheming open, we also saw Goff dropping in dimes into tight window coverage and, you know, making plays above and beyond what the scheme is creating for him. So I think, like all of these great quarterback coach matchups, it's a symbiotic thing. You know, neither one of them is 100% the product of the other one, and vice versa. So I think Jared Goff's definitely helped by McVay's system, but it's not responsible for creating it.
So the Cowboys were willing to give Ezekiel Elliott record-setting money. The Chargers are very much unwilling to move on Melvin Gordon. What do you think? Smart move by the Chargers to stay put?
Yeah, I think it is. And honestly, I think in a lot of ways, Melvin Gordon might have a better case for a big-money deal than Zeke Elliott. Zeke Elliott has had a huge workload, but he's always had a pretty good offensive line to run behind, whereas Melvin Gordon has had a terrible offensive line to run behind. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, that's the important thing in determining rushing success. So what he was able to do last year in terms of broken tackles and yards after contact, he was doing things that he shouldn't have been able to do given the blocking that was in front of him. But I think the Chargers are right. You know, whether they understand the dynamics of play or not, I don't know. But they're basically saying, you know what, we will talk about an extension next year, but right now you're playing on the deal you've got, and that's where the value is for us. We don't want to increase this deal to a monster number because you might still not have a good season if the offensive line remains a problem.
Sam Monson joins us from Pro Football Focus. I want you to go back over that point because a lot of people think that Melvin Gordon is not a top-tier running back necessarily. You actually think he's more valuable to the Chargers than Zeke is to the Cowboys?
Well, I think he's been a bigger part of their passing game than Ezekiel Elliott has. He's done more with the ball in his hands when it comes to the receiving part of things. But also, you know, it's running backs are basically a product of their run blocking. And for years, Zeke Elliott has had amongst the best run blocking in the NFL, and Melvin Gordon has had the opposite. You know, that Chargers offensive line has been one of the worst units in football for a number of years now, and he's been dealing with that the entire way. So when you look at his rushing numbers, you look at his yards per carry and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't paint an accurate picture of what Melvin Gordon himself has been doing. It paints an accurate picture of how bad that offensive line has been and how bad the run blocking in front of them has been. But, you know, if you look at in terms of broken tackles, if you look in terms of yards after contact, you know, we have a thing at PFF called the elusive rating, which is essentially trying to distill what the running back does from the blocking in front of him. And Melvin Gordon's elusive rating is consistently significantly higher than Zeke Elliott's because he's doing a lot more and the blocking in front of him is a lot worse.
How do you figure elusive running?
Well, so, you know, that's the name for the statistic, but it factors in broken tackles, tackles avoided, yards after contact, yards after the catch in the receiving game. It's trying to sort of pull together all of the numbers that look to be running back-specific numbers, not total yardage, which is often a product of, you know, how big the hole was at the line of scrimmage. So it's trying to fold in all those numbers and essentially just pull out the running back's part of the equation.
Mm. So we got Bears and Packers tomorrow night, and the Bears were one of the teams last year that went last to first, and this is one of the most interesting little parts or factoids that we have in the NFL, that every year, essentially, there is a team that finishes in last and then the next year wins the division. The Bears were one of those teams last year. Do you guys have any sense of who might be a last place team from last year that could come in first and win the division this year?
Yeah, and I looked through the list of last place teams, and I honestly don't like many of them to make that jump. But then I guess the reason they're shocks is because nobody thinks that. I think the one that makes the most sense would be Jacksonville. Obviously, Andrew Luck retires, so the strength of the division, at least at the quarterback spot, got a little bit weaker, so that opens the door a little bit. But also, all the talent from that amazing defense of 2017 is still there. You know, they've got Jalen Ramsey, they've got A.J. Boye on the back end. Up front, they've got an incredible amount of pass rush. They have the defense to be as suffocating as they were a couple of seasons ago. And now they have, at least in theory, they've got a quarterback. You've got Nick Foles, they paid significant money to. You know, we don't really know what Nick Foles we're going to get. We've seen him play basically as well as any quarterback in the NFL in the two most important games of his career. But then we've also seen him play some pretty terrible games as well. So how he plays will go a long way to determining how successful Jacksonville can be. But I think they've at least got the things needed on paper to make that worst-to-first jump.
Last time you joined us, we talked about Aaron Rodgers and the types of plays that he makes downfield and how elite that is. So I want to ask you about now with a new coaching staff, with a new head coach at least, and Matt LaFleur, do you expect Rodgers to continue that mastery in with a new offense or at least a new series of structures, audibles, et cetera, with his new head coach?
This is such a fascinating season for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay because, you know, for years it was how much of the problems on offense are Aaron Rodgers and how much are the scheme, how much are Mike McCarthy's offensive system not scheming receivers open and all that kind of stuff. And I think we're now going to at least see some answers. You know, we've got a new system. We've got an offense that should be playing more to his strengths. And we're going to see if he can become a little less conservative in how he attacks defenses. You know, Rodgers doesn't like putting the ball over the middle of the field as much as most quarterbacks because it's risky. You know, it's the most successful area to target, but it's also where interceptions happen. And, you know, the ball bounces in weird ways when guys get a hand on it and that kind of thing. And that's why his, you know, interception rate is so fantastic for his career. But it means you're leaving some meat on the bone when it comes to attacking a defense. And I think we're going to see a little bit this year whether he can become just a little bit more aggressive with how he attacks the defense or whether he will kind of remain perpetually a little bit too conservative on that end and that costs the Packers overall.
Sam Monson joining us this morning on the show, Pro Football Focus. He's a really fun follow on Twitter, so check him out because as we move along in this NFL season, they got really good factoids and insights into what we are watching at Pro Football Focus. Sam, it's good to catch up with you once again, my man. Thanks so much for doing it. Enjoy week number one.
Anytime. You too. Take it easy.
Sam Monson joining us this morning here on the DA Show from Pro Football Focus. Tweets coming in, DA on CBS. Fix tweets. Breaking news, Dallas area bakeries are in panic this morning over a shortage of pie. Boy, I mean, Jerry, he just sounds like a bozo, doesn't he? This entire summer has been, there's less pie for everybody. Yeah, there's less pie. We don't have enough pie. Jalen Smith signs. They got basically a one-hour press conference trying to shame Ezekiel Elliott into taking less money. They signed Lyle Collins. Not enough pie. Not a lot of pie to go around. DeMarcus Lawrence got his. Not a ton of pie. And then they give Zeke all of the pie. And it looks like
Zeke.
It looks like he could eat a lot of pie. Oh, Jerry, you got me again, man. You are such a card. Oh, damn, you got me again there, Jerry. You had me believing you were not going to spend money on old Zeke, but I see what you're doing. That whole pie thing, oh, you man, you had us going. But you got to get that on camera. Oh, that's a knee slapper again from Jared.
When we come back, the other extension, did the Rams overpay for their quarterback?